Are you ready to discover how to maximize your marriage, family, and life while growing your business? Well, welcome to Love Plus Money, the show where we show you how to succeed in business while thriving in family, health, and legacy.
All right, guys, it's so good to be here.
Welcome, welcome.
Great to be here.
We're stoked. We get the Australian besties.
I can't believe we're doing a podcast on the other side of the world.
We've talked about this for so long.
We really have. This is so exciting. And now we're jumping in. Of course, we had our first season of our podcast. Weren't totally sure what we were doing. Had a lot of fun. Kind of did it on our own. And
now look at this.
And now here we are about 2 years later.
I'm impressed.
Well seasoned.
We are ready to start really talking even more boldly about love, the things that matter most to us, right? The end of our days, like what really matters, but then also the money side. So success, we're going to unwrap that today, specifically with you guys. Mm-hmm. And our real focus today is success with family. So we wanted to start off with a question that Andrew got from a client, from a coaching client this last week that brought up some great conversation. Mm-hmm. So we want your input on this. So Andrew, your client question, you basically asked, as a successful doctor, hey, I need to make more money so that I can go have these big, amazing adventures with my family. Tell me about that conversation.
Yeah, so there's, I don't know about you guys, but I felt for years as like a clock ticking inside of me, and I was like, I'm behind. Mm. I'm behind, and I'm behind. And a lot of my clients that I coach, it's that same feeling. It's like, well, I've got to do it. And I was talking to one of my clients, like, hey, I need to scale my business. I need to go even bigger. I need to generate even more income. And there was a pressure there. And I was like, why? And he said, well, my son's 12. My oldest son's 12. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to travel all over the world with my kids. And if I don't get going now, it's going to be too late. Mm-hmm. And I think any time a parent feels like, I've got to get going, it's pressure.
Yeah.
And so I told him this story. I asked my children years ago now, it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago, you know, what is your best memories with me? And my oldest, her best memory was us hiking really early in the morning, and we were running between the shafts of light coming through the canopy.
Beautiful.
And keeping warm.
Yeah.
And that's her best memory with me. And then my other was I got up with her 3 times a night for 3 days. And she had such, and again, for you guys that have followed the podcast before, we've adopted 2 of our kids. They were foster kids. And getting that trust, she goes, that's when I knew I could fully trust you and I could fully love you and you were not going anywhere. Mm. And with our kids, we've traveled a lot. Me being from England, you know, we traveled all to England. We stopped in Iceland. We had a couple of days there.
So cool.
We've been to Scotland. I had some friends in Spain we stayed with. You know, we've been to Hawaii and Mexico. And I thought the best memories that my kids would have would be those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was her bedroom and me being there.
The little things.
Yeah. And so I think we have this illusion that if we can give our kids this extraordinary life and we give them all the things, then they'll have a great childhood. But what I've found is you can do those things, but it's the presence of being with them. That's
Absolutely.
What the kids crave the most. And
without a doubt.
For the guys that don't know Pete and Cass, we met 7 years ago, mountain biking in low 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Nobody else was out.
And, New Year's Day.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Crazy.
And
and we hit it off. I was thinking, but no, I was out there.
It was chilly. But we hit it off, and then our ladies hit it off, and then our kids hit it off. And fast forward 7 years into the future, you guys have done something epic. And what
Most
I love
families
about
families only dream of.
Yeah. And I think, you know what impresses me most about you guys is, Pete, you're what's your position? I don't want to mess it up.
I'm a teacher by trade.
Yep.
And I've been a teacher for 19 years. Most recently, for the last 12 years, I've been an executive staff member. So I've had a full-time teaching load, but supervising a group of teachers and their classes as well. So I've had the privilege of seeing what it's like within schools and
yep.
And chatting to families and
behind the curtain,
looking at what it looks like to have various different types of styles of families and experiences and whatnot.
And I think that's the, like, we've had amazing conversations with both of you guys. It's just about background. And Cass, you were a teacher as well.
Mm-hmm. For, I think, about 6.5, 7 years.
Yeah.
And then the baby calling came, and yes, I just knew I wanted to be a mama. And yeah, so that's when business was the way forward. So it was like, how can I use this skill, this trade of mine, and work from home and be present? Because yes, I just remember knowing I want to be present. I don't want to miss a thing. It was just this incredible urge to not miss a thing. So I started a tutoring business, having no idea that 17 years later, it's still going really strong and growing from strength to strength. So that's been my way of being home, being present, prioritizing family and kids, and also using the skill set that I had to help other families through the school experience.
Yeah.
And the freedom that that brought was just immeasurable for what I've been able to do since making that decision.
And it's awesome because these guys, that you guys work hard and you play hard. And what I love about you guys is, even though Pete, you're a full-time teacher, you homeschool your kids.
Yep.
Because you've got clear on what is important to you guys. And so these guys are wonderful. They've just completed next week 89 days.
We can have a 90-day visa here to stay. So we're 89 days in the country, which will be 88 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the generosity of beautiful friends that we have all over the country, including the Devlins, home base here, who were the bookends and the middle of our trip. Yeah. It'll be 50 nights with incredibly generous, beautiful families, which has been like an education in people for the kids, which is one of my highlights of this trip, was just reading the room and moving from family to family and home to home and enjoying each space, which has been so unique for the kids along the way. 19 hotels in there, 18 states, and an awful lot of beautiful, like, sights to be seen and experiences had
and
by the kids.
And loads of hamburgers.
A lot of burgers.
Not forget
lot
the
of shakes.
A lot of coffee. A
lot of coffee.
Yeah.
So that within itself has just been yet again another example of the freedom that we've had because of the ability to take some long service leave, to pause a business that I'm in control of, and because the kids are homeschooling, the freedom to take them and learn outside of those structures and learn in the real world, like, genuinely, here's what it looks like, guys. Here are your opportunities. Here's the different way things are done. Take a look at it. So that's been, for us, probably the most valuable part of the homeschooling year.
Yes.
But going back to your question, it's a case of, we wanted to strike now while our kids were the ages they are, 16 and 11. We've had the benefit through my teaching career. We had a teacher exchange. That's where we met you back in 2017. So we've had the privilege of that occurring as well, which has enriched us as, you know, mother and father. But it's imparted a lot of life experience for our kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we wanted to come back, visit, see the different sites, visit our friends, and give those experiences and build upon those experiences for our kids as well.
And I think that's so important what you're talking about with how parents can absolutely tend to think, I'm running out of time. There's not enough time, because they grow up so quick.
Yeah.
So families, this thing that you think will stay the same for a really long time, but it's ever changing as the kids grow. So we knew when we started homeschooling, that was a decision made because, oh my goodness, they're getting big quick. Let's seize the day. Let's be together as much as we can and make an impact. And then with the traveling, it was, oh my goodness, we genuinely don't know where our big boy's going to be in a few years.
Yep.
Let's, like, seize that and, you know, go see the Devlins.
Yeah.
Bit of a perk.
And I think so many people, they think that they're going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in reserve to give these kids this incredible experience. So they've got to grow this massive business and work 24 hours a day or 7 days a week. And this is, I think, the hard thing, but we generally have kids at the same time we're building our businesses as a career.
So true.
Yeah. It's all at the same time. And
it'd be tough.
You know, what impressed me the most, and again, just chatting with you guys, is you guys paused and got clear on what your definition of success is.
Yeah.
And can you guys tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Well, we just saw an opportunity some time ago, about 3 years ago, where we were trying to work out. We'd not been parents before and we've not done this before, but we want to do our best for our kids. So what we did was we sat down and worked out a vision for our family.
On a scrappy little piece of paper.
It was just a scrap of paper. We had lots of things going on. Nothing special, nothing spiffy.
Yeah. A scrappy piece of paper, whatever pen we could find at the time, and a real family of four conference. It was a round table.
Write down our vision, write down what was important to us, what we wanted to do, and then everything that we did or wanted to do, we had to go, does that serve our vision? Does that go back to what it is?
And what are we sowing into with our time, our energy, our finances? Because where we're putting our money, like that's really clearly where we feel there's value. So where is that? Where do we need to prune and pull back? What do we want to put our time and our money into? And let's start doing that now, not tomorrow. That constant thought of, you know what it's like when you speak to families and they've got a picture of what they want to do tomorrow or next year and you never see it come to fruition. Mm-hmm. We just knew that regret is no fun. And we thought, let's make sure when the kids are adults, we look back and go, oh, thank you, Lord. We were bold enough to jump when the resources were available, when we'd been able to create the circumstances to really like, let's go. No more waiting. And COVID put a pause on a lot. So we were ready at that point in time to go, here's the vision board. Here's what's most important. We can see what that is. Let's go.
Yeah. Yes.
And to back to your question, you don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars in a nest egg and saved up. There were times where we didn't holiday or do anything for 4 years.
Yeah.
Until, we worked to a goal, we got there, and then we go back and revisit and discuss as a family, right, this is the phase we're in. What do we do next? Mm.
Did you guys bring the kids into the budget side of things?
Absolutely. The kids are part of the budget, and they're part of the reason why we don't necessarily overspend, because they can see that once we get home, it's going to mean compromise on our values and what we want to do at home as well.
And that's the joy of having eyes on you as a homeschool mum and parents, is the knowing you are modelling. Whatever you're doing is just seeping into their everyday's kind of notion of whether that's going to be a healthy choice for them in the future. So it was about saving. Mm-hmm. Here's mum working hard with the business and saving it. Here's dad taking long service leave that he's stored up. Mm. Here's a few clever choices. We do not need to be millionaires to do this thing. We are blessed with ridiculous friends, family, connections overseas to go spend time with. There's so much value in that. So showing the kids how to save, this is nothing to do with debt. It was so important to go, this has been worked for and earned ahead, and now we can enjoy and wisely use that.
I've learned so much from you and I having conversations about this, of bringing the kids in.
Yeah.
Bringing them in to the debt conversation. So, so as we talk about your definition of success, and so everyone knows, we have a fun surprise at the very end, the last 3 minutes or so, that we're going to share something fun we got to film as two families for Utah.com and Stay Open Sky. So we're going to have the very end here. But there are three character qualities that our conversation around the island, Kitchen Island, the other night.
Where all the good chats
happen. Let's get to that. Like your definition of success and what you see, what you've seen not only as teachers in school. Because our homeschool conversation, we've already decided, we already have like 10 podcast episodes, ready to roll.
Content.
But today, focusing on these three character qualities, and it was confidence, resilience, and independence. But we're going to let Pete and Cass unpack these a little bit, because it's not maybe the same definition that maybe I'm thinking of, or that we typically think of when we think of confidence, resilience, and independence. Because I think every parent wants those three things.
Absolutely.
I'll let Cass share the idea of success for our family before I then bring in what it looks like between those spaces of school and homeschool.
Yeah, because I think the beauty, again, is you see it in a school environment as well, and how vital it is for those three factors in school.
Yeah,
as well.
So, absolutely.
And that's really helped. So that's informed, I think, so much of what's going on in our family, is that Pete, who's currently deputy principal at his school, is seeing so much of what families are going through and how that manifests in the kids.
Yeah.
I, as a tutor, am seeing students from every single school setting and what they're going through and how it impacts the family.
Private,
so we put that
public,
together every setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we put that together and we go, oh my goodness, strip away the idea of ticking boxes, achieving things that are set out for us as almost a very artificial version of success, and going, success at the end of the day is my kids wanting to be with me and valuing family, respecting the fact that we've got something to offer them. And they're really sitting underneath that authority day in, day out. But it's seeking out the will for their life that God has for them and stepping into that. So knowing their identity and who they are in Christ and making decisions from that and stepping into life from that position, no matter what occupation they end up in down the track, that's going to have them
with some firm foundation.
Yeah. And you're not going to get easily rocked, which brings me to the confidence bit, because when it comes to like wanting to see confidence in your kids, that can be so context-based.
Yeah.
They look confident somewhere, they go home, they fall apart. And we see students who look confident in certain spots and then in other places, no. So we want to see in our kids that they are confident to be themselves. They know who they are, and therefore the peer influence just doesn't get a say. Mm. And that's the joy of homeschooling. They have the freedom to grow into who they're going to be fully, not a version of themselves, fully who they are, and then step out in that.
Yeah. So for years, nearly two decades, I've had parent-teacher conferences where I get to sit and speak to the parents of the children that I have in my care. And I take my job very seriously. We have a lot of fun. But I know each and every one of those kids.
Yeah.
And it used to be that I talked to the parents about those two things, confidence and resilience.
Really?
So the confidence to be willing to give things a go, to get in there and just have a go, to face challenges, to just, in Australia we say, have a crack.
Have a crack at it.
The next thing is resilience, you know, because some kids have confidence, but when they get knocked down, they very find it very hard to brush themselves off, get up again and have another go. So one thing that I try and work on with the kids is confidence and then resilience.
And have you seen resilience change over the last, you know, two decades? Or
I can see resilience shift from very little resilience at the beginning of the year to through class exercises and coaching and talking through, their students' resilience will change. And that's the conversation that I have with parents. This is what I want to start with. Keep going. So resilience. Now, the third thing that we've started to discuss in the last few years is, and it's driven by what we've seen in our kids and homeschooling, is independence. Now, it's not the independence that they can go and do that thing by themselves, or they can
off at the mall for the afternoon.
That's right.
Give them a phone.
It's not that at all.
Go raise yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's far from it. But it's the ability to see the value for who they are in their identity. In our version, it's under Christ, but not look for the value of what other people are thinking of them. So I often have conversations with students, and even with my kids. We don't look for other people and what they think, because often they're thinking about what other people are thinking of them.
Yeah.
So who are you? What are your values? What is your character? And so those three things I think are really important and serve a bit of a three pillars, I guess you could call it, of the character of what we want our kids to be.
And that's definitely shining through the kids, because we're constantly just checking in with them during this big mammoth 3-month trip, and they are just absolutely delighted for the things their friends are doing back home, but stoked to be where they are.
Right.
On their own very, very unique, cool path with their family, not surrounded by their little besties for the last 3 months. They've had beautiful times of friendship, but they are seeing family at the core. And they know who they are, and they're so confident in that, that there's no need to be online getting feedback.
Yeah, and I see that. Doing is I see good. That with your kids too. When our kids come together, they are a beautiful group of friends.
They really are.
Yeah. When they're separate, they do their own thing.
Yeah.
But then they come back again, and they just gel beautifully.
And I think that's the thing, is raising kids so they know who they are without all the external impact, cultural impact. And it's like, once they can have that self-confidence, it's like, hey, this is who I am. And, you know, and they accept themselves and they're not swayed. And that's what I'm seeing right now, is like, most people, I was at a John Maxwell seminar, and John Maxwell's wrote like probably 90 books on leadership. Mm-hmm. And he was saying how, and this was before lockdown and all that stuff, but he said 80% of people do not think.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because they've never been taught how to think, only what to think.
Mm.
And then he said 18% of people think they think.
Yeah.
And that's based on, if I do this, will I be liked?
Exactly.
And then 2% who actually think. And I was like, I think, I remember when I first heard that, I was like, no. Oh. And then I went out into the world and I was like, oh yeah. And then with how culture's changed, I'm like, I think that number's even more.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I want to be like, and again, it's a human need to want to be accepted. And, but if you don't know who you are, you're just looking for a crowd that will accept you quickly.
And unfortunately, as kids are growing up in this day and age, I experience as a teacher and executive that kids are looking elsewhere for their value.
Yes.
Social media is one of my number one gripes for kids at the moment, and I'm often dealing with it multiple times a week. Big issues, either around bullying or posting, exposing, all sorts of things in different ways. And it really troubles me where kids are going and what the impact for them long-term is, because they're looking for their value elsewhere.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, wrapping up, like how do you guys make sure that you're staying connected with your kids, plugged in? And I think so many times I'll hear like a father or a mother, and they've got a definition of success for their family. And they're like, oh, it is skiing, ski. Mm-hmm. And
helping them live up to their potential, which a lot of the times, as we know, can just be the parents. Like, sure, I wish I could have been the volleyball star, but my daughter, I see it in her. She can do it.
How do you keep those kids into who they are?
Something really simple is we make sure that one of us is available at different times. So I work during the day.
Yes.
Works of an evening.
Yep.
And that's looked different depending on the phase of life we're in. So it used to be, for a short time, it was 5 days a week. Now we've been two days a week, two afternoons a week. But I'm home.
And we're a little bit obsessive about this, because I feel like we are given these treasures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do with that? Let's not squander it. We get to speak into their life for this really short period of time. So you know what? I don't take that for granted. One of us is present. We're not going to hand those reins over just to anyone for some ridiculous period of time during the week. We're going to be there. Now, that's how you stay, like, plugged in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Yeah.
So my presence is so important.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, it's just like we're there.
Yeah.
So for the past
2 years or more now, Jesse and I, my son, 16-year-old son, we'll get up every morning and go for a swim at the beach, regardless of the temperature.
That's his highlight.
Yeah.
That's his highlight.
And I think we might miss less than a dozen mornings a year.
Wow. Wow.
And so that for me is my
connection.
Investment with him. But it's my connection too. Yeah.
And then the chats that take place when you're there.
And that's what we found. It's like kids need to be able to be silent around us frequently. So if they do have a question, we're there. And a lot of times parents are not around the kids that much. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, tell me how you're feeling now. And they're not, the kids are not used to conversing with the parents. So some of the best conversations I've had is just sticking a kid in the seat and going for a drive.
Absolutely. You know?
So true. Yeah, so.
I love road tripping for that.
Yeah.
Go for a road trip.
Side by side.
And you will hear how your kids are doing.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be all the time. Like you say, there can be lots of silence.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere,
the
conversation will flow.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk about silence, stars, glamping.
Yeah.
Because we're bringing it down for our last couple minutes. Okay. Yeah. So, those are of you that are watching on YouTube, you're going to see in the background something really fun that, as families, we were able to record as a collaboration with Utah.com and Stay Open Sky. So Open Sky Zion, Pete and Cass, were able to be there for their 20th wedding anniversary. Andrew
highlight.
And I are celebrating 20.
We just happened to, we were already booked in, and this opportunity came up. So,
to do some filming.
Yeah. Hey, 20 years is worth celebrating, and that place is a slice of heaven.
It is
truly
magical.
Is. Mountain biking was top
notch. No, cedar hot tub.
I'm going to say the coffee and conversation on the swinging chairs. So, but creating these moments. And so some of you guys are going to see this. This episode is sponsored by Open Sky Zion. It's our favorite glamping place.
Amen.
And it is just a place to really immerse yourself in Zion National Park. It's unique. We've stayed at a couple different glamping places. This is really unique, isn't it?
Stunning.
Very special.
And so this is something that's been such a fun surprise to be able to have this experience. Now, this can be stay open sky, be open sky, or it can be taking a tent.
Yes.
Or sleeping in the back of your car under the stars.
So making memories,
moments,
shared memories
are so important, and it's been so incredible.
The essence of that stay was absolutely spot on.
Amazing.
Appreciate you guys being on. Safe travels back to Oz.
Thank you. Can we stay?
Yeah. You might get in trouble. Come back.
What's for dinner?
All right, guys. We got something really exciting for this next episode. Talk to you later. Thanks for riding shotgun with us on another episode of Love Plus Money. We trust you're leaving with meaningful insights. If today's episode fueled your hunger for success and fulfillment in all areas of life, don't hold back. Hit that subscribe button, give us your rating, and lay down your thoughts in a review. Your feedback powers our mission to equip high achievers like you with the tools to conquer every challenge. Stay dialed in with us on social at Devlin Worldwide. And guys, keep charging ahead, nurturing your relationships, and never compromising on your most important dedications. Until next time, this is Andrew and Janelle Devlin signing off, reminding you that love plus money can equal the freedom to live your best, most purpose-filled life.